you're glad you remember the day he wrote your name. I'm glad to be saved this morning. I appreciate the Lord. It's good to be in God's house. I feel good in him. I appreciate the opportunity to come back to God's house. I mean, it's a blessing to get to come. It really is. I'm thankful for it. I don't take it lightly. You can get things in God's house you can't get out yonder.
Amen.
Amen. Never was meant to give it to you out yonder.
Amen.
Lord, our fellowship is in here, and I appreciate it. But anyway, I'll hush up. I'll ramble on all morning if you ain't careful. Like I said, I got things to get on my mind and things, and I want to hurry along. But if you would pray this morning, pray for Brenda Stanley, Norma Blevins, Danny Tester, Robin Bordwine, and Bobby and Gina and Charlotte Minton, Brother Robert Schrader, and Bill Donahue, Billy Craddock, Matthew Canner, Tony Rich, Wayne and Renee Mullins, Johnny and Pat Burton, James Cable, Robbie and Carrie Gabbard, Brother David Gabbard, Danny Minton and the family. I appreciate the Lord's help, Danny, and I'm thankful for that. If you would pray for Don Green and all that family. I talked to Jerry a little bit this morning. Don seemed to have a good day yesterday and a good night, and I'm glad of that. I'm glad the Lord's well able, thank God. Wherever we're at, he can touch us. If you would pray for Chris Elders, he cut his fingers really bad yesterday and or sometime. I don't know if it's yesterday or Friday or whenever, but if you would pray for him. And then Bobby Taylor is testing for cancer. And David Turner, his dad passed away a few weeks ago. And then Phyllis Carver, pray for her if you would. It says her toes are turning purple. And then Olema Rice and Ruth Thornburg and Gail Riplinger, Jane and Debbie Parker and Hattie Crane and Judy Campbell, Linda Berry and Karen Paget, Barbie McMurray, Becky Garrison, Rita Smith. Continue to pray for Emily. And then pray for the lost. Brother Nathan, if you would pray for him and all the missionaries. And then a special prayer request. And then I want to mention one, if you would. I don't know what to do, but exactly, but I believe the Lord does somehow. We're having trouble, and I've mentioned this, getting the money to the children's home in North India. The government over there is going against anything that's Christian. They're trying to shut all of that down, and they're fighting against it. And so if you would pray, we got a Father in heaven that can take care of this. It's not just our organizations. Susan sent me a thing the other day, and there's a hospital, a Christian hospital over there, very well known, been there for 114 years. They're trying to shut it down. Just anything related. They don't want it. That's the way this world is. They don't want nothing to do with Christ, and they want to go their way. But I'm worried about them youngins. I think there's... Amen. What, 135, 45 youngins throughout those five children's homes and centers there. And they got sold. The rest of them do too. But some of them choose to go to help. They don't have to take these youngins with them.
Amen.
And so pray that God would open a door somehow we can get this stuff took care of. But anyway, and I appreciate it, and I'm sure they would. And they're, I guess, struggling along right now. But anyway, we're going to get the ushers up here real quick. We'll take up the offering. You give them the Lord's. He's blessed you. And we'll let them sing here in a minute. But anyway, I appreciate, as I said, all the prayers. And God started that work. He can keep it going. He can do whatever he wants to do. It is. But anyway, Brett, pray for us if you would.
Lord, we thank you, God, for the opportunity to be in your house. Pray that you bless through the service of Lord, pray for the request been made known, those that have not been made known. God, you said let a request be made known unto God. And Lord, I pray that you would do tonight, today what needs to be done, Lord. And come for the Holy Spirit, God. Glad we have a place to, Lord, a place to go, heaven, Lord. And it's an ending place for our faith, God. I pray that you'd bless each one that's here in this house today, Lord. And pray that those that's not able to be here or not here for whatever reason, God, that you'd help them, encourage them. Father, we just pray now that you'd continue through the service. Help Mother, Brother Mike as he brings a message, whatever the saying is to be done, playing, Lord, I pray that you'd be in it, God, and you said for us not to fail to assemble ourselves together so much the manner as we see this day approaching, God. We see the approaching coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't know, but we know the signs are moving forward, and we pray, God, that you just bless in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
No.
saved to the uttermost. Don't get no better than that. Thank God. Amen. There's no better news than to find out. Thank God. Hear the voice of heaven. Hear the voice of the Lord himself. Come by and speak to you. Call you out. Raise you from the dead. I was thinking yesterday, sitting back here, every time you might be sitting here deaf this morning, but when he speaks to you, and I'm talking about spiritually deaf, he still causes the deaf to hear. You might be blind to everything he's got this morning, but he still calls you to see. You might be dead in your trespasses and sins this morning, but he still raises the dead. What I'm trying to say is all of your hope is wrapped up in him. He can help you this morning, and I appreciate him. But I want to do this. I appreciate the Lord helping Danny and touching him, and I do. I'm thankful, and I wanted to get the quartet to sing. But before they come or as they come and sing, I'm going to take up another offering. If you want to help out on something, what it is, many of you know Johnny. He's one of the boys that was raised in that Northern Children's Home. And he got hit by a car, had shoulder surgery, got a plate in it. He was getting around. You know how they are in these third world countries. We're going to be like that before long. Everybody's going to be on their little scooter with their goat on the back. But anyway, that's what they're riding. And anyway, he got hit. And so he can't do that no more. And they're trying to get some money for him to buy a road-approved little four-wheel thing that he can get around. Now, here's the crazy thing about that. We can get the money to him for that. They'll let that come in knowing what it's for, but we can't feed the children. Now, that's how sorry that is. So anyway, Johnny's been with us a long, long time in that home and in that work. And so I want to try to help him, and what we don't get, I think some others come in. We'll get some from the out of the offering, church, or whatever. But anyway, they need about, I don't know, $4,500 or something. But anyway, if you got some you'd like to help out with, and you go ahead and do that. That y'all come on and sing when you get ready, and we'll do something on it later also. But I appreciate the Lord, and I'm glad I'm saved this morning.
Amen.
I'm glad Jesus paid the price. Amen. You pray for them. Let them pray.
For Job, every rose in his garden had faded. All the flowers in his life had withered away. But Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And the roses for Job, they all bloomed again. Sharon in that beautiful garden, it's gonna come springtime, springtime again. It was dark for old Jacob when they brought him that coat, and it seemed to him that Joseph was dead. But things got brighter when he saw the wagons coming, and the roses for Jacob, they all bloomed again.
The roses will bloom.
The roses will bloom again. Some morning they'll all bloom again. No matter how long your winter has been, your winter has been. When you see the rose of Sharon in that beautiful garden, it's gonna come springtime, springtime again. The disciples went with Jesus his last trip to the garden, and they were there when they led him away. It seemed every rose they had died on Calvary, but come Sunday morning, they all bloomed again.
The roses will bloom
again. Some morning, they'll all bloom again.
No matter how long
your winter has been,
when you see the rose of Sharon
in that beautiful garden, it's gonna come springtime, springtime again.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad it's still sailing. It's still moving. It's still coming through. You can still get on board.
Amen. I appreciate the Lord allowing Danny to be here. He texted me this morning, and did my heart good to hear from him first thing, saying that the Lord had helped
him.
I know everybody's prayed for him just like we have. Does my heart good to see my buddy get help here. I thank the Lord for doing that. I'm glad to hear, buddy.
Bless your heart, Craig.
I was standing on the banks of the river, looking out over life's troubled sea, when I saw an old ship that was sailing.
Is that the
old ship of Zion? Sailing.
Is that the
old ship of Zion I see?
At the stern of the ship was my captain. I could hear as he called out my
ship of Zion.
It will never,
never pass this way again.
As I step on board,
I'll be leaving
all my troubles and trials
behind. Captain,
sailing
out on the old ship of Zion.
At the stern of the ship
was my captain. Ship of Zion,
it will never,
never pass this way again.
As I step on board,
I'll be leaving
all my troubles
and trials behind.
Be
safe with Jesus, my captain,
sailing
out.
sailing out on the old ship of Zion.
Amen. I was thinking about that last verse. We've been singing this song now for probably 30 years, probably.
Amen.
Something along those lines. But that fourth verse has a whole lot more meaning today than it did 30 years ago.
Yeah, amen.
I'm going to leave all my troubles and trials behind.
Amen.
A lot different meaning today than it used to be.
I looked over at Danny right when we were singing that, and he just grinned and looked back because we know it's okay.
Yeah, amen.
We know. Amen.
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 Yeah. Thank the Lord. Well, have your Bibles this morning. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 13, and I really wish you'd pray for me. I sat back there this morning for a little while, and I've had a couple of different passages on my mind all week. And I told the Lord, I said, I don't know which way to go. Then it just came to me, let me direct the service. And one of them is going to help you in one way. And then I knew when the service kindly quiet. That's all right. You can't do some things when it's, you know, not. I knew which way to go this morning. And see, that's just the Lord, because I don't know. I don't know how to do much of anything, but the Lord does. And I'm thankful that He does. But I want to read, I've got a few scriptures I want to read to you this morning, but I really want to start out in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. Now, in this chapter, there's eight parables, and not all of these parables are the same. And this one is a little bit different. But anyway, the Bible said, Matthew 13, verse 24, and another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung forth and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From thence then hath it tares. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay. Least while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Father, as I bow before you, Lord, I need you this morning. I can't do a thing without you. Lord, we look to you. We call upon you. I ask you, Father, this morning that you'd have your will and your way around here today. Lord, I pray that you'd move and touch hearts and stir our hearts, Lord, with thy word. God, we'll give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you about this just a little bit. If you'll notice over here in the beginning, I'm not going to touch on it long, but there's two different things, and I've heard them kindly compared together, but there's not a comparison. You'll find out over in the first part, a sower went forth to sow, and he sowed. The Bible said that some fell to the wayside, and fowls devoured it. Some fell among stony places. Some fell among thorns. Some fell among good ground. And different things that happened in each one of those. But over here, the Bible said there's another parable, and it's likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. The Bible said, while men slept, his enemy, this man's enemy, come in and sowed tares. And I've been thinking about that a lot. I mean, the difference in the tares and the wheat is this. For a long time, you cannot tell which is which. But when it heads out, and you see the fruit of it, you can see the difference, and you can tell that one's a tare and one's wheat. And if you can't see today the difference in this. Now, see, over in the first part of this, he's talking about going out and sowing. And I believe this is what he's talking about. I believe he's talking about going out into the field. The Bible talks about it over here a little bit later. The field's the world. Now, he's going out and he's sowing this good seed among mankind. And sometimes that seed falls in thorny places. Sometimes it falls in a place and the fowls of the air carry it off and devour it. And sometimes it falls in stony places. And sometimes it finds good ground. But this one over here in verse 24 on down has nothing to do with that. This has something totally different. This is when Satan, the enemy of Christ, went out and sowed his seed. You'll find that. I want to read just a little bit to you over here in Ezekiel, and I'm going to do a little bit of reading in a couple of different places this morning and read this to you. The Bible said in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 11, it said, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Now he's talking to the king of Tyrus. He's talking to Satan, and who he's talking to. He's the king over. Well, see, here's what I want to say about this. I've heard this, and I'm sure that you've heard it many times. If there be a God in heaven, why would he let these bad things happen and take place and all this? I want to say something. It's not God that done that. God set this thing in motion. The heavens and the earth declare his glory. Everything is obeying him. And then what took place, he gave man a free will. And let me read just a little. This will help us understand some things down through here, and I'll get back to it. He said, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone in thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, and workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee out as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee." And I'm going to stop right there. There's more you can read on down through there, but this is where I want to get. The Bible talked about, it said, and when it said, while men slept, the enemy came and he sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now, the first time that took place was over here. The Bible said, the Lord wrote this and penned it down. He said, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." Amen. He said, he created this perfect place for mankind. He created a place there that man could dwell. There's no sickness, heartaches, dying, or nothing like that. But all of a sudden, you find out that the devil slipped in. And I want to say how he slipped in. He slipped in with all these coverings, all these diamonds, jewels, my God, he walked in as a great light. This is what I want to say. He said, "I know you've been down in the garden and you've sowed a seed down there in the garden." Yeah. You sowed a seed in Eve down there in the garden. I mean, my God, now you've got, she lied. She said, "We've got a man of the Lord." That man was of the devil. Cain was of the devil. There's a tare sowed there. Now, what I want to say is all this. I mean, I've thought about me and John, and I think Robert been talking about some different things about this. I mean, I've always looked back, and I've thought about heaven as this perfect place and undefiled place and all that, but it was not so. Got quiet, didn't it? I mean, the Bible said, listen to this. It said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast on the holy mountain of God. There's a time in heaven that things wasn't exactly perfect because the devil sinned. He sinned in that garden. But, I mean, and the thing about this, even, and you say, well, that was only for a short period. No, that was for a long period. I'll read it over in Revelations to you here in a few minutes when that got took care of. But there's a long period of time. I mean, in the book of Job, the Bible said that those angels, those fallen angels, those sons of God appeared before the Lord, and Satan appeared unto him also. There was a time that they was going in and out of heaven. And he said, where have you been? He said, I've been going to and fro in the earth. He's still going to and fro on the earth. And you better wake up. And I better wake up. And this world better wake up to this fact that he's not down here playing around. I'll read it to you in a few minutes. He's not down here playing around. He's sowing seed. Now, I said this a few weeks back. You know what bothers me? Right now we have these open borders, and I'm not getting political this morning. I'm not worried about people from Honduras or China or anywhere like that coming across our borders. I'm worried about natural brute beasts coming across our borders. I'm worried about this crowd that has no conscience, has no feeling. See, the Bible said the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And that too, that their father is the devil. That's the first murderer that there was. It was Cain. I mean, that's what's in them. They're natural brute beasts. They're made to be taken and destroyed. Now, see, there's a time in heaven, and the thing about it is, I don't know how that took place. I don't know if a third part of them fell all at once. I don't know if the devil kept going back and drawing them away with his beauty. I read this where there's tabrets, there's with his music, all of these different things that he had. I mean, as far as I know, he's the musical leader in this thing. There's a whole lot of youngins and a whole lot of other people gets drawn away with God with a whole lot of different things. Now, you might not be a natural brute beast, but you sure can be drawn away with one. Amen. I'm going to read some scary things to you. I'm going to just go on over here to Revelations chapter 12. And I'm going to read this is it. This goes right along with it. This is when this takes place. See, he's out there sowing. He's been sowing. Yeah. And the thing about this, when you look at him, listen to me. You can't see the difference in a wheat and a tare until it heads out. That's right. Amen. You can't see the difference. You think this is Johnny walking around over here. Johnny's full of the devil. I'm not talking about lost. That's the first part of Matthew 13. I'm talking about the devil in him. I'm talking about his devil, the father. His father. His literal father. That's how it happened. The Bible said over in 1 John, Cain being of the wicked one. Amen. Now let me talk about this a little bit. The Bible said in chapter 12 of Revelations, and there appeared a great cloud in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. There's a reason that we read in the Christmas story and about that time when Herod wanted to kill Jesus. I mean, there's something that got on him. He was threatened when he seen him. They called him the King of the Jews, King of Kings. Lord God, that threatened him. He said, we got to get rid of this one. That was the work of the devil, working through Herod, working through that kingdom, working through all of that. The devil said, I got to get rid of this little feller. I know who that is. And then the Bible said, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was called up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled in the wilderness, which she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. The Bible said, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought against the angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now listen, this is where this take place. The Bible said that her child was called up unto God to the throne. Now this is what took place. And I'll read it down here in a minute. And I'm not just going to throw it out there willy-nilly and not show it to you in the scriptures. But there's a point after his birth, 33 years later, he went back up to the throne and he took his own blood and even heaven, where sin was in there for a while and Satan was able to come in and go in and out and go in the Bible. I'll read it to you, where he was able to be an accuser of the brethren. But when he took his own blood and he placed it on that mercy seat, and he sanctified that place again and said, sin will never end anymore. This is a place that will never be defiled anymore. And the Bible said that the devil was kicked out. It wasn't until he ascended back up to the throne and sanctified that place again. Thank God that was when the devil was kicked out. That blood business, that's why he don't want the blood preached. He don't want you to know about the cleansing power of the blood, because he knows if you ever get the blood on you, that the sanctified place, that the holy place, he has no more rule, no more reign. You need the blood. He can mess with your flesh, he can do things, but your soul he can't mess with. When the blood is applied, thank God, he's done. He's kicked out. He no more rules and reigns over you. Sin hath no more rule over you. Chuck preached Thursday night, grace ruled unto righteousness. Ain't that good? It's the grace of God that rules now. But it said this, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Say, why couldn't he prevail? Because the blood's there. The Bible said, and the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which delivered, which deceived the whole world. Hey, let me say this. It ain't just been the last little bit people's deceiving and being deceived. It was from the first man that was down here when he made her, when a wife was made for her, she was deceived. The devil didn't wait long. The Bible said over in Ezekiel, I saw you down in the garden. You was down in that Eden of the garden. Listen, but it's cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole earth, the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, now has come salvation, amen, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, amen, which accuseth them before our God day and night. That's all he done. Stayed up there accusing the brethren. But now the blood's placed. And he's out. But listen, it gets kind of sketchy here in just a second. The Bible said, and they overcame him. This is the only way you will overcome him. this is your only chance. And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. I mean, the only chance you got to escape the devil and being deceived by him is by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony that you'll have when you meet God.
Amen.
That's your only chance. Look at this next verse. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Don't you think that was a happy day when the devil was kicked out and he can't come back in and there's no more accusing of the brethren and all that? Boy, ain't that a happy day? Thank God that you realize. I mean, there's nobody up there. Down here, people can say this or that about you, but there's nobody up there that knows anything about your sins. You can't be accused. Thank God they're forgotten, they're forgiven, and all is gone. But there's one little problem. Read the next. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. Here's where our problem is right now. He's cast down. Hey, heaven's fixed. Heaven is fixed. There's nothing that enter in that defiles. Heaven is took care of. Thank God the blood's there. The blood's there. The blood's been applied to the mercy seat. They're rejoicing. There's nobody that can go up there and accuse the brethren anymore. But whoa! Here's our problem. This is what we're dealing with now. Woe to the... Seeing God gets to blame for it. There'll be a storm come through town, tear down town, and they'll say that's an act of God and we're not covering it. That's not an act of God. That's an act of hell itself. Whether we like it or whether we don't, he's cast down and he said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. We've got to deal with that feller now. You've got to deal with him. But I want to say this, not only you have to deal with him, but you'll have to deal with him when you're sitting here lost and undone, going to hell, and the Son of God, the Holy Ghost, come by and talks to you. You'll have to deal with the devil too. He wants you to go to hell. Some of you sitting here, when's the Lord going to deal with me? Quit listening to the devil and he might. There's somebody here, there's an opposition to you, there's somebody trying to drag you off into hell, and it's the blood of Jesus, the only thing that can save you. They've said it time and time again. I mean, when he talks to you, you better run to him. That's your only chance. Forget all this other business. Mama can't help you and daddy can't help you. Mama and papa can't help you. The preacher can't even help you. It's going to be the blood of Jesus. It's going to be the Son of God. They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony.
Amen.
See, we're down here in the Bible saying this, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil has come down to you. Listen, he ain't coming to be your friend neither. For the devil is come unto you having great wrath because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Hey, it ain't no wonder hell's a raging. His time's about up. But the problem is, yours is too. You think I'm just young. I've got all the time in the world. Honey, you may not have much time. See, it's scary. The devil's come with wrath. He'd like to wipe you out just as quick as possible. We say, well, death is no respecter of person. Honey, it ain't death, it's the devil. Death is appointed by God. For the wages of sin is death. The devil would like to go ahead and drag you into that. Now listen. He said he knoweth he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. You know why Israel's going through so much right now?
Amen.
This very verse. He hates Israel.
Amen.
He hates the children of Israel because they brought forth this man-child.
Yeah.
I mean, she was a Jew. She was of the lineage of David. She hates Israel with a passion. You know why the Holocaust happened? Because this right here, the devil hates Israel with a passion. You know how I know our government is so corrupt right now? They won't stand with Israel anymore. They do it with their mouth, but their heart is far from it. That's scripture right there. They worship with, but their heart, they ain't in it. They're speaking out of both sides. They're sorry. In fact, I think we got a bunch of natural brute beasts in our government, whether you think so or not. I can almost prove it to you. We got a bunch up there that say they're Jews, and I guarantee you they are not. They are tares. You got one Jew up there that's saying we need to get rid of BB called or BB started talking about Netanyahu need to reelect a Jew in our. He needs to mind his own business. But he says he is, but he's not. I believe he's a tare. The Bible said, how you know? The Bible said, out of the abundance of a heart, man speaketh. I can listen to their mouth and find out what's in their heart. See, that scares me. That's the reason sometimes I don't say nothing. Because my old heart, it ain't no good neither, except when the Lord gets stirring in there. Hey, sometimes I just try to shut up. Because I know the mouth will reveal the heart. The Bible said, and I'm going to read this, and I'll quit here in a few minutes. I don't know what time it is. But there's some good stuff and bad stuff in here. Boy, you ought to get stirred up when he said, woe unto the habits of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is cast down to you and having great wrath. That would stir you up. Boy, that would stir up the Bible reading, the prayer life, and everything else. Honey, instead of just willy-nilly going through this thing daily thinking, well, I've got to do this and I've got to do that, we need to get to God. And we need to let Him speak to us. And we need to find out what He's going to help us with in these days. And He has. He has. And the Bible said, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. She might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she was nourished for a time and times and half times from the face of the serpent. And Lord God, that's what we need. But here's what I want to say to you. You can't have that. Say, what's going to protect me from the serpent? The blood. You've got one thing that's going to protect you, or you've got nothing. You've got the blood. Or you have nothing. You've only got one thing that's going to wash you as white as snow, or you've got nothing. Salvation is of the Lord, or you don't have it. The Bible said, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that she might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened the mouth and swallowed up the flood, which was the dragon cast out of his mouth. And just let me read the last verse. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. Say, well, they don't have it. They do. They just don't even know it. Don't you worry about them. They've got his testimony. The crowd before, it was their testimony. They're kept by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony. Here, this is his testimony. Amen. He testified, I've done it for them. Amen. I've done it for them. I wanted to preach this morning, and I might tonight, I don't know, over in Romans chapter 5, just because of this verse. I got to thinking about that. He's the ministry of the promises and the covenants to them. And to you, mercy. He ministered everything that was promised. He ministered it to them. And here he says it. He declares it. He said it's the testimony of Jesus Christ. Every time somebody says something about Israel, I mean, the Son of God can do this right here. Right there's my blood. I gave my blood for their sins. I was delivered for their sins. That's my testimony right there. That was in the Old Testament, you have promises, you have prophecies of promises, and that's the fulfillment of it right there. That's my blood that was placed there for them. Amen. The devil can't even get up there to clear his throat and say a word edgewise. He's out. But he's down here. And he said, whoa. Amen. Lord God, you better listen to that. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is cast out, and he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You know why things are, he's out there sowing. He's sowing, and then he's done it so good that he's deceived most Baptists, saying, well, God don't love me because this happened to me. Yeah, you done been deceived.
Right.
He come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. I found this. You get joy and peace. Romans chapter 15, you get joy and peace through believing. Outside of believing, you got hell. You got the flesh and you're going to have to deal with it. You got things that you're going to go through. This life don't get easier. Every time I think I get over one thing, something else happens. These bodies let you down. I told Cole this morning, I said, everybody's asked me about my legs and I appreciate that. Yeah, that's good, but I tore a tendon in my foot. I'm just getting old. You know, I knew I heard it a few weeks back. Had to go buy shoes. I got these little, I look like clown shoes up here because they feel like they're about that wide. But I can't get my foot in nothing else. So I went to get my knees checked out, and they sent me to get x-rays, and they said, yeah, you've tore this tendon in your foot. I thought, God, that's just the way it is. But, hey, that ain't nothing compared to hell. The things that we suffer in this flesh ain't nothing compared to what hell's going to be. People think, well, no, the Bible said his enemy come and sowed tares. And I'm very fearful we got them running around everywhere. I really am. It ain't, what was it, a week or two ago up there in the college, it's calling for the guillotine. Cut their heads off. Cut the heads off for the professors and the president of that college. And you know what they do about it? Nothing. That old white-headed man stood up here and told us years ago, so much that we got sick of it, they going to come. And they going to try to cut your heads off. Say that won't happen. Well, go over and talk to them about October 7th when they cut them little babies' heads off. They don't have no soul. And they think, well, they're just like us. No, they're. If you look, you'll see the tear. You'll see the fruit of it. And we got a whole lot of that here. And I don't know what you're expecting. You think it's going to get better. It's not. Bible said it waxed worse and worse. The only time it gets better was when you get under the blood. You must be born again. He may still kill you, but at least you go to heaven. Now, this is scary. It is to me. I'm about half nervous, even reading this stuff. But thinking that the devil, listen, he got a whole lot of rain down here. He can't go up to heaven. He can't do nothing there anymore. He's out. He's played his last song up there. Do you know where he's doing his singing and dancing now? Here. You know where he's stirring up trouble? That's all he done in heaven was stirred up trouble. You know where he's stirring up the crowd now? Here. You know why they're rioting in the streets now? Here. That's what it said over there in 2 Peter chapter 2. Said they'd be as natural brute beast. They're right in the daytime. Wells without water.
Yes,
cursed children.
Yeah.
So why are they cursed? Because he's their daddy. They don't have nothing to save. They got a hull.
Amen.
They got a hull and nothing in them.
Amen.
Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. What that mean? Well, not only are they spiritually dead, but one day death and hell is going to give up the dead in it. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. They're going to be twice dead. And that judgment's already passed on that. There is nothing to save. There is nothing to bring out of the first death. Bible said once appointed unto man to die and after this the judgment. But you can leave out of this old earth being born again and you'll never have to face the second death. Blessed is he that hath part, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. You can be part of the first resurrection. Now there's where it's at. And it's scary. It's scary. But I sure am thankful that he took his blood. He put it on that mercy seat. He put it there. Kicked the devil out. All of Job's problem happened because the devil had access to heaven. Now he don't have none, and you know where our big problem is? Because he's just down here. Say, well, why don't the Lord do something? He did. He come down here, he died for you, he took that blood and placed it on the mercy seat. And you don't, now is when you get under that. Now is when you come to him. If you don't, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go. I ain't giving an invitation. I'm going to let you know, knowing this, the devil's on your trail. And he's got wrath with him. Now you go think about that for a while. He is on your trail. But I'll say this, God's so good, he's on it too. He'd like for you to run to him. Come to him as fast as you can. That is your only chance. That is your only chance. I'm going to let you stand to your feet. I appreciate the Lord. I'm so glad. Hey, let me say this. You know, in the past, don't know more, but in the past, it bothered me. I got saved when I was pretty young. It bothered me because I look back and I think, well, did I know much? I didn't have to know much. You know, the Bible said, suffer the little children to come unto me. All I knew was to go to Jesus.
Amen.
Everything after that's been a bonus.
Amen.
Everything after that's been a blessing.
Yes, sir.
So you don't have to know a thing other than you need him.
Amen.
And you need to run to him when he gets the calling on you.
Amen.
Just run to him.